And if you're able, you know, and if you're not enrolled in Curlers and if you're not naked, it'd be nice to see your face. But, you know, if you're, I'm just glad you're here, but it would be very nice to see you. All you see the LZs, I haven't seen you in a while, the Earth and all of you. I want to look at a couple of scriptures this morning. Minister Smith was teaching last week. She did a very good job. She was in Romans. I want to look at a couple of scriptures this morning. I want to look at one, and I'm going to be in Luke in chapters 9 and in actually Luke in chapter 5, Matthew. And I want to look at a scripture in Acts. About the 26th chapter. And I want to encourage everyone this morning, Sister Judy, who's here, and for all of you who are on up this morning, that C.L. Latham's been. I've known El Latham now since about 1982-83 time frame. Been in church together since at least 1986-87, if not before. Ella Tiangela, I've known her since the time that she came since from Living Waters. So that's the 90s something. Ella Jenkins, I haven't known you as long as I've known the other folk. Came in England, India, I've known since she was so small that she used to be grumpy and all we had to do was feed her and she'd smile. Mrs. Stedmeyer and Ms. Mother Ware, I've known you longer too, from a long way. Sister Barbara, I met up in New Covenant. Brother Marshall, I know from here. Thank God for him. And Brother Marshall is the story of how things can start off bad and turn good. I met Brother Marshall because he backed into my gate. And by the grace of God, he was the nicest person I ever met. He came into the church and someone had backed into the gate. And I thought, God, how are we going to ever find whoever did this? Because people don't ever show up after they do this. And lo and behold, I was in prayer and he drove up and he walked in the door. And he said, hey, I'm the guy who backed into the gate. Can you imagine? Yes. Now, don't you know the Lord has something good for people who do things like that?
Yes.
You know why? Because they have a good heart.
Good heart, yes.
They have a good heart. Brother Marshall, you have a good heart. And God is always blessing people who have, because that's a heart like Jesus. That's honest before all men. And when you're honest, God will bless you.
Yes.
LLs and Sister LZ, I've been known for a very long time. LLZ, I knew all the way back. And matter of fact, let me see. Sister Eartha, Elder Jenkins and Sister Campbell, I've known everybody up here just about longer than you. I met LLZ all the way back when we were in Italy, and matter of fact, I spent a night at his house and went down there Bible study with the Plannings and spent a night at his house. And LLZ, I want you to know that morning I got in my car to go back to Germany, and a mosquito got in there with me. It almost made me have an accident trying to swat that mosquito. Crystal, I've known for a very long time, since almost the beginning of her, you know, the third grader who was going to drop out of the third grade. Now she's going for a doctorate, and so forth and so on. I know everybody here. I want to encourage everybody this morning in the Word of God that it's by the grace of God that we're saved and that we're here, and that we're here is the reason why Jesus came. Mm-hmm. I want to look at a scripture in Acts, the 26th chapter, and I'm only going to read this one scripture in Acts 26, and then I'm going to Luke, and then I'm going to look at some things in Romans, and that will be it for today. And hopefully I'll be as clear as Minister Smith was last week. I'm not nearly as organized as she is, but then I'm not as educated as she is either. But I'm glad you enjoy her, because you need to see her more and see Elder Smith more and grow in God. I want to look at Acts, the 26th chapter and verse 17. And this is God's commission. Jesus' commission to the Apostle Paul when he sends us out, and I want to keep this in mind. Verse 18, I'm sorry. And this is his purpose for Paul's preaching. If everybody's there, I'll give you time to get there. If you're there, just raise your hand. Acts 26 and 18. And can everybody hear me okay? India, I don't see you today, so I don't get a thumbs up. You can hear me. Okay, we're good. This is why we preach the gospel. This is Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Everybody say, Jesus came to save sinners.
Jesus came to save sinners.
Came to save sinners.
Thank you for saving.
He came to save sinners. And he told Paul, he says, I want you to go out and preach. And he says, and whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them, which is sanctified by faith that is in me. In other words, he says that they might be forgiven of their sins and that they might get eternal life for believing in him, that he is the Savior. This was what Paul was supposed to do. He was supposed to preach the gospel to people so that they would be saved. And it's what we're supposed to do. Now go to Luke, the chapter in Luke. In Luke chapter, what did I say? Five. Luke chapter 5. And it's also in Matthew chapter 9. But Luke chapter 5, that'll do. Luke chapter 5 and verse 27. Luke chapter 5 and verse 27. Everybody who's up today want you to end up in heaven.
Yes.
Want you to end up in heaven. And I want you to be blessed while you're waiting.
Yes.
You know, want you to end up having eternal life. And God would have you be blessed while you're waiting to have eternal life. Luke chapter 5 and verse 27. Chapter 5 and verse 27. If you're there, read with me. I'm reading out of King James Version, although as soon as I get my new Bible, bring my new Bible, I'm going to switch over to New King James. And after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi. Publican means a tax collector. Mm-hmm. He saw a tax collector named Levi. And if you know anything about Israel during this time frame, tax collectors were just as much hated then as they are now, and more so because they not only collected taxes, Sister Judy, but they collected them for the Romans, who were the enemy.
Yes.
And they were considered somewhat of a traitor, and they did just like all people in public life do today who are not honest. They also skimmed as much as they could off the top. Named Levi, which is Matthew, sitting at the receipt of customer or the tax collector's table, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he left all and rose up and followed him. And Jesus was speaking with authority, and Matthew had no doubt seen some of his preaching and teaching, and it wasn't just some strange person walked by and said, "Follow me," and he got up and followed him. He had some familiarity. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with him. Now, everybody look up. This is what happened. When Jesus comes along, and Levi is sitting here, he's taking taxes and everything, and he's counted as somebody, Sister Judy, who, if people talk about them, Elder Smith, you know how some people say that some people will never be saved?
Yes.
And maybe some of you that I'm looking at this morning, and here again, you know, if you're able to bring your screen up, it'd be good to look at your face. Maybe some of you people would say, "Hang, he'll never amount to anything. He's never going to be saved." You're the very one that God wants to get saved. You know why?
Yes.
You're the greatest example of how great the power of God is.
Yes, amen.
Oh, little brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, let me apologize for calling them little. Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, who were raised up in the house of God, been in church all their life. They were dancing and shouting at 6 and 7, which is wonderful. They were teenagers in God. They were preachers by the time they were 20. That's just wonderful. I mean, I would hope that all of our children would be like that. But in the neighborhood, the person who draws the most attention is the one that they would say that's the bully, that's the drug runner, that's the whatever. When that person gets saved, people say, "Let me go see what's going on down there." That's the one that we want.
Yes.
That's who Jesus wanted.
Yes.
That's why when he goes by and he asks this tax collector to follow him,
That's who he wanted, because the people would now, you know, they, you know, the Jewish believers, they're into the law, and they already make up their mind that only some people are going to be saved because they have the law, and they within themselves, this is the arrogance that we sometimes have. I see it in church all the time. Some of us are very arrogant about it. We are so self-righteous in that we are saved and by God, and I'm going to show you a scripture in Romans in a couple of minutes that lets you know that all of us are saved because of the long-suffering, the patience, and the tolerance of God. All of us are saved because of the patience and the tolerance of God. God put up with us.
Yes, he does.
Until such time that he could convince us that we really needed to have salvation in order to live eternally. God put up with us until he could get us to know who his son is enough to believe on him to save us. God put up with us.
Yes.
And he still puts up with us.
Yes.
I mean, every day.
Long-suffering.
He is very patient with us, and he has a lot of tolerance with us. We talk about people in the house of God being so intolerant. Well, we need to be intolerant of sin itself.
Yes.
We must never say that something that is wrong in God is right.
Right, yes.
That we can't say.
Yes, you're right.
Because we have to, as Jesus said, I came to call a sentence to repentance. In other words, I came so that the people who were wrong would get right.
Right, yes.
And they would see that some of the things they're doing are not the right thing to do. Because ultimately, as he said in Acts, I want them to come out of the darkness. In other words, the ignorance they have about God and the ignorance they have about life and their lack of knowledge of eternal life. And, you know, and so they don't say dumb things like, you know, well, you know, I may as well go to hell because that's where all my friends are going. And say dumb things like, if anybody's going to heaven, I guess I'm going. Or say stupid things like, well, you know, heaven is right here on earth, or this must be heaven, or, you know, or earth is hell. You know, they just say dumb stuff. That's darkness.
Yes,
that's darkness.
Yes.
I believe in a higher power, and you can, you know, it's any God you want. That's, you know, he came so that all of us could be very sure that our sins were forgiven.
Yes.
And that we could be very sure that we were going to have eternal life. Because you're going to die eventually, one way or the other, or you're going to be here when Christ comes and you're going to be changed if you're in Christ, all those that are his. And he wants us to know that and not be in the dark about it. Does everybody understand?
Yes.
There's no reason to be in the dark about it. And many of us who are saved, and I thank God for everybody who's saved and everybody in whom the Holy Ghost dwells, but many of us stop right there. And, you know, and when Jesus is talking to Paul, he's saying to him, I'm not just filling you with the Holy Ghost. And when he meets Paul on Damascus Road, he says, I'm not just filling you with the Holy Ghost so you can just sit around and tell everybody I got the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
And I'm not filling you with the Holy Ghost so you can go where everybody is that has the Holy Ghost already and y'all just jump up and down. We all got the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I want you to go and deliver sinners. Tell the sinners, hey, this is the way. This is what's right. Give them the light. Bring them out. This morning, we need to know. We need to say to everybody this morning, I don't know what you did yesterday, but Jesus will forgive you of your sins. Even if you consider yourself to already be saved, and probably you are, but if you were out of sorts yesterday, I want you to know that his forgiveness doesn't run out if you'll repent. And his blood doesn't lose its power. I don't want you to have any reason when you grow in God. We don't want you to have any reason to think that one day you're saved and one day you're not. And the time that you need to really know that Christ forgives sins is when you find yourself wrong.
Right? Yes.
When you say the wrong thing, you need to know that God is a patient and forgiving God.
Amen.
When you do the wrong thing, you need to know that God is a patient and forgiving God.
Amen.
Because when do people give up on God? Not when they think they're right. They give up on God when they think they're wrong.
Yes.
I keep doing this, and you know what? I may as well just give up. No.
No.
Never say, I may as well give up.
That's right.
Yes.
As long as you have breath and it comes to your mind, you see, here's the point. If the Holy Ghost can bring to your mind that you're wrong, then you can get right.
Amen. That's right.
The problem is, and Jesus said this one time too, he says, if you, all of you, he was talking to the publicans, the church people, and he was saying, if you could see how blind you are,
yes.
he says, you would listen to me preach, and I will tell you how to get right.
Yes.
But since you say you see already,
yes.
in other words, he says, since you say there's nothing wrong with me, and everything's already right,
yes.
then, you know, he says, your darkness remains.
Yes.
Because he says in this, in Luke, and we'll go back to Luke now, Luke chapter 5, and verse number, and that's the reason why I want everybody who's up here today, and everybody who's in here, and not only you, but me, you see, this is what keeps me over the years.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Elder Latham, we go all the way back to South Dakota, and there's been many ups and downs since that time. Mm-hmm. Elder Rogers, we go all the way back to Mississippi, there have been many mm-hmm. ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes.
And it hasn't been ups and downs like we were running back and forth to the bar. That's not where our ups and downs were. Our ups and downs came when we decided Jesus was with us one day and Jesus was not with us the next.
Yes.
And we wondered when we got sick, why am I sick?
Yeah.
And we wondered when we got disappointment, why am I disappointed?
Yes.
And instead of the right thing to have done would have always been when we were down, ask the Lord to lift us up.
Yes, yes.
That's the right thing to do.
Yes.
But we don't do it.
No.
We fuss with God just like we do everybody else. Lord, you're not going to deliver me. I'll fix you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to church then. Right. That's like my children slamming my door. Like they're not speaking to me. When I was a little boy, my mother would make me angry. And I'd go outside. You know how you run around the side of the house? I wish you were dead. I wish you were dead. I wish you were dead. So you did that? Yeah. Kids always do stuff like that.
Yeah.
They do. Yes. 8 or 9. And I would have a hard heart towards my mother mm-hmm. until I got hungry.
Yeah.
And then when she would call my name and say, come and eat, all sins are forgiven. And then my whole manner would change. The problem is, it's when you're the sort of person that when mommy says come and eat, you want to be so stubborn now you won't eat. You got a problem.
Yes.
The problem is you're angry with God about something, and when God reaches out his hand like he did to Jonah and says, are you right to be angry? And yes. you're so stubborn you decide, yes, I'm right. That's a problem.
Yes, yes.
That's a problem. Don't you think God knows that you're discouraged sometimes?
Oh, yes.
Of course he does.
Yes.
That's the reason why he does things to encourage us.
Yes. Yes.
Don't you know that God knows, even though we talk about having great faith and we see people with great faith in the Bible, they're examples.
Yes.
Don't you know that God knows from time to time your faith is weak?
Yes.
It's almost non-existent.
Yes.
And the only way that only way you make it is because God comes to see you through.
Yes.
Don't you know, have you ever seen the little picture of the man with the footprints in the sand?
Yes.
And for a while, you know, the little example of the footprints in the sand, and for a little while, there's only one set of footprints, and the man says to Jesus in the little example, well, why did you leave me? And he says, I never mm-hmm. left you. He says, that's when I was carrying
you. Amen.
Haven't we gotten it yet that many of us would have never made it to this day if the Lord hadn't carried us?
Yes.
And we think as if we've been running on auto all this time. Like,
yes.
And we make it seem like, you know, it's just automatic. We run on auto.
Yes.
And we're able to just never be down and never be up. And, you know, things just always work out. And we've been keeping ourselves saved all by ourselves.
Yes.
Nothing could be further from the truth.
Yes.
Those of us who've been saved the longest, we've used the blood more than the rest of you.
That's right.
Yes, yes.
Those of us who've been saved the longest, we've repented more than the rest
yes,
of you.
Yes.
And you say, I know you repented. That's your. That's yes. Where the problem mm-hmm. comes. If you're the sort of person who has not repented a lot, those of us who've been saved the longest, we've been kept because we know mm-hmm. God will forgive us.
Yes, yes.
So does that mean you just sin because you want forgiveness?
No.
No, we don't. That's the whole problem.
Yes.
That's when you have a problem.
Yes.
When you don't realize that God will forgive you when you're wrong. That's the whole problem.
Yes.
Had not been for the, if it had not been for the if it had not If Adam had never sinned and we had not fallen in sin, Jesus would have never had to come.
Yeah, that's right.
He came to save me.
Yes.
So then Jesus is, I'm in Luke the 5th chapter. Good to see you, Sister Gamble. Hey, how you doing? The reason why Jesus came, he says, you know, to destroy the power of the devil, to set us free.
Yes.
So all of us who have been saved for a long time, we're the biggest users of the blood, because if we've been saved for 30 years, by now, if you're growing in God, you've had to ask God to forgive you a lot of times.
Yes.
And it's not just because I'm just an abject sinner and God forgive me today and I'm gone tomorrow, God forgive me today, I'm gone. It isn't that.
Yes.
It's that we grow to find out. I think Shonda was teaching last week, we find out that, as she said, Bishop Bruno said it, you hear me say a lot, these bodies do not like God. We find out later on that being born in sin, we have this tendency not to obey. We have this thing about us.
Yeah.
Called being human.
Human.
That's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit to keep us.
Right.
We would never live saved without the power of the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, without the power of the Holy Spirit, we would not even repent.
Mm-hmm. No.
He's the one who says to us when we're out of sorts. And remember now, it's not you out of sorts and I'm Pastor Bishop Smith. I'm never out of sorts. No. It's the day when I come in and the church leaks and I go in the back and I see where we have some sort of rodent running around in here. And then I get the bills for it. And I'm asking Elder Reed, do you have all the money? And I'm coming in and I'm all set to teach and I'm ready to give what saith the Lord and nobody shows up. And then I go to God and say, God, you wasn't going to send nobody. Why you call me? And I might ought to say that, but since God knows my heart, He sees the little mannish part that's going on in here.
Yes.
That's daring God. If you don't do something, I'm going to do something. Like, what can I do?
Yes.
And then when the Holy Ghost settles you down, you have to repent.
Yes.
Say, Lord,
I'm sorry.
I thank you so much for calling.
Yes.
And the Holy Ghost will say, don't you remember when you stayed at Elsie's house the first time, how you happened to be there? So don't you remember I sent you down to Italy during that time to teach a Bible study to Brother Blanding and who is now Sister Blanding, but they weren't even married then.
Yes.
They were just stationed on Aviano, and the Lord would send me from place to place, and I'd go free because I was on staff, and He'd send me TEY. So don't you remember I sent you down to Turkey? The Davises were there. Don't you remember? Sister Eartha was there down in Turkey when you first met her a long time ago. You preached down there. There she's still on there today. So don't you remember all the people that have come through the classes and different times and things that you've done? So sure, you've had some ups and downs, but don't you remember? So can't you see that it wasn't just you running your mouth, that I had something to do with it? Haven't you figured that out yet?
Yes.
And then when He says that, I don't sit up with my arms folded and sitting back like I'm crazy, like I look like I just got gone. You know what I do? I repent.
Yes.
So you repent in the same way that I had to repent when I was in sin before, because as James says, to know to do good and not to do it
is sin. Amen.
And when the Holy Ghost comes and says, you owe God an apology. You know how we like to jump up and everybody owes us an apology? Repenting is apologizing to God and meaning it. Saying, Lord, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I had the wrong mind.
Yes.
I didn't think about it. So why are you telling us? Because all of us, because of the blood of Jesus, are able to come to God because we're wrong so much.
Yes.
Not that we aren't axe murderers. We're not murderers. We're not killers. We're not a lot of things. But our minds are quicker than our spirit. So we get angry before the Spirit can settle us down. And we speak before the Spirit can say to us, You ought not say that.
Yes.
And sometimes if we're really disobedient, we speak because. Don't you know sometimes, don't you know when I listen in here sometimes and I'm like everybody else? Don't you think by now, being as old as I am and being in church as long as I have, you know, when you know, don't you think just by age alone, you know the difference when somebody is speaking to you respectfully and some and people when they don't respect you?
Yes.
Can't you tell the difference?
Yes.
I can.
Yes.
I know when you're speaking up because you have something really good to say and something that would be encouraging. And I know when you, in your arrogance,
yes,
think that you're telling the rest of us off.
Yes.
I know. So how do you know? Because I've done it myself.
Yes.
And God was there.
Yes.
So Jesus comes along, and they and Jesus is, he meets Matthew, Levi. Levi is a tax collector. So for all of us who go out now, and we look at the people that we will not invite because we don't think they're going to love God. There's a lesson that I need to teach that we need to learn about Lot not wanting to come out of Sodom. And the lesson is, none of us wanted to be saved.
Yes.
So I always wanted to be saved. No, you didn't.
No.
So, but I grew up in church, and your mother and father drug you to church.
Right.
Yes.
And there were a lot of days when you would have rather been someplace else.
Yes.
I don't care who it is. I listen to the house saints talk about it.
Yes.
Of how, you know, mom would beat me or this if I didn't dance, if I didn't do whatever. Yes. Well, then, you know, why would she have to do all that if you wanted to do all that? It's just understanding.
Yes.
Because we are born in sin.
Yes.
No, we didn't want to come to God. That's the reason why the Holy Ghost took so much power.
Yes.
To change us, yes, so that we would be in God.
It, yes.
You know, when we're born again, when we are, we become new creatures, listen, don't take that lightly. It took a great amount of power.
Yes, yes. It did.
And it speaks to the gentleness and kindness of God that he doesn't just knock you upside the head and remind you of it every day. How much,
yes,
power it,
yes,
took to get,
yes,
you to change your,
yes,
mind.
Yes.
Great power.
Yes.
Oh, I hear people talk about all the time having an anointing, and become preaching, teaching, and anointing. But every one of us should be able to sit back and say to ourselves, but I am a partaker of God's power because his spirit dwells in me.
Yes.
And if somebody said, well, sure, how do you know you got the Holy Ghost? And then you need to say, like all the old people always said, because I've changed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Something about me is different.
Different, yes.
Something has worked in me that's different, and I can see the difference. So Jesus, Luke, the fifth chapter, he comes to Matthew, who's a tax collector, who is not just somebody who doesn't go to the temple. Matthew hasn't offered up a sacrifice in forever. He said, bring a lamb. He doesn't even bring turtle doves. He don't bother with the temple. You know why? Because he knows the temple people.
Yes.
And he knows that for all of their format and all their protocol and everything else and all their robes and their phylacteries and their this and that and the other, he knows that they're just as big of sinners as he is.
Yes.
He knows that all of them, if they have any salvation at all, it's because of the blood.
Yes.
And he looks and he's made his way. Because they haven't done anything to convince him that he needs to be saved. They just keep saying to him, you need to keep the law. You need to keep the law. It's like if you come in here today, and the only thing on my mind is telling you how you need to dress.
Yes.
You come in here today, and the only thing on my mind is telling you what you need not to do.
Yes.
No, what's on my mind is saying, Jesus Christ, yes, saves sinners.
Yes.
Of which he saved me.
Yes.
And he'll save you.
Yes.
So when Jesus comes in and he sits down and he sits with them, he says, when Matthew believes in him, because when he says, follow me, well, you need to know that by now, by course of this isn't just some person walking by Matthew and saying, follow me, and he gets up and follows him like he's in a daze. No, you know, Jesus has been around. He's been preaching I know we live in cities that are huge, but during that time frame, I mean, all the circle that he moved in around Jerusalem in those areas was probably no bigger than Wright.
Yes.
Just this neighborhood.
Yes.
And if you preach and had, if you, You know, if I did a notable miracle, I'm praying for Christ to do, for the Lord to do miracles and signs in this church, because when you do notable miracles, hey, in a small town, everybody found out about it real quick.
Yes.
And it's like Zacchaeus, who wasn't planning on being saved. He just wanted to see who Jesus was, because Jesus was becoming famous. Matter of fact, Jesus kept trying to hold it down because, you know, he knew he was headed towards the cross and he had a lot to do.
Yes.
So when Matthew decides he's going to come to church, you know how we go out and invite people and we decide who will come and who won't come? Matthew, Sister Judy, is the biggest sinner in town. One of them.
Yes.
He's a big money sinner. And when Matthew decides to be, when he believes that Jesus is the Son of God, he does what all of us are supposed to do. He invites Jesus to dinner. And when he invites Jesus to dinner, he invites the whole church over, right? No.
Mm-hmm.
He invites the people that he knows.
Yes.
You see, look up here to everybody. I'll tell y'all something and you can tell whomever you like. If God gives me the choice between preaching in a room packed with saints that have been saved for the last 10 years, versus preaching in a room where it's just me and a couple of saints and everybody in there is a sinner, I'll take the room that has all the sinners.
Sinners, yes. Because they need it.
If I get a chance to go to a revival, I don't need to go to a... I'm a preacher.
Yes.
I don't need to go to a... If I can't revive myself, I need Austin to be preaching to you.
Right.
I don't need to go to a church revival when the only people who are going to show up is everybody who's been having the Holy Ghost, and everybody's going to get up and talk about how they've been saved for the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You might have a good time.
Yeah.
But you're not bringing anybody from darkness to light.
Right, yes.
You're not bringing anybody from sin unto God.
Yes.
You're not giving anybody eternal life because everybody in there said they already had it. You aren't doing anything of the Great Commission, baptizing in the name of the Father, because everybody in there has already been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy.
Yes.
So Jesus, when he comes, says to them, they said to Jesus, oh, they go down for all of us today. But the scribes, 29, and Levi made him a great feast in his own house, 5:29, Luke. And there was a great company of publicans and others that sat down with him. And the scribes and the Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? Why are you in here mixing it up with all these sinners? Is that Matthew's house? Matthew can have anybody there he wants. And he's an open invitation. The biggest mistake I've made since I've been in this city, really, is I haven't gotten out into enough places where there are people who need to be saved.
Yes.
That's something the Lord will have to deal with me about. Mm-hmm. He says to this, they ask him, they want to know, his brother said to him one time, said, if you're such a great preacher, why don't you go down to Jerusalem and preach? And Jesus said, I'll get around to it. They want to know, if you're from God, why are you in here with all these sinners? And the answer is, this is what I, and so he says unto them, and Jesus answered and said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are weak. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In other words, the reason why I came down here to die was because people are in sin. I came to save them. And then you think someone would say, for many people, if I would say, well, I'd rather be in a room full of sinners. That offends some people, but it's the truth. It's what I'm called to do. I'm not called to just come and entertain people who are already saved.
That's right. That's true.
We all get together and put on our glory suits and we dance and we do all. I think that's wonderful and it's good in this place, but that ain't the end of it.
Yes, that's true.
If you're going to do all this dancing and doing all this glory and everything else, get some power when you leave and then go preach to sinners.
Yes.
Because when he says, I came not to bring the righteous but sinners to repentance, I've read this all my, you know, pretty much, you know, forever until yesterday when I was reading it again. And then I realized he wasn't just talking to the Pharisees. He's talking to all of us. And it lets me know if he came to not to the righteous, but call sinners to repentance, then that meant that at some point in time, I had to be one of them.
Yes.
It isn't an issue of just, oh, I'm holy, 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 holy. So I just, when I go preach, you know, and all, you know, the sinners. If you want for me to see in your service the power of God, to me it's not about how many people get healed. It's about how many people get saved.
Yes.
Because you can go to hell with a healing.
That's true.
It's teaching me, as Jesus says, whenever I'm wrong and I'm headed in the way of sin, this is what keeps me saved. It's because I know about repentance.
Yes.
And I know about the blood. So when I really fell flat on my face, I didn't get up and leave and not come back. I remember that he came to pick up people who had fallen flat on their face.
Yes.
It wasn't all the people standing over me pointing, ooh, look at him, look at him, look at him. That ain't who he came for. He came to pick up the one who was laying
flat
on his face. That's the one who needed the blood.
Yes.
Because we know we all do.
Yes, we all do.
So Jesus says to them when they come, since they put themselves in a position, they put themselves in a position, although they're in error. You know how we put ourselves in a position that we don't need the blood anymore? We sing about it, but we don't need it. We just joy, joy, joy.
Yeah.
We make mistake after mistake, some of them in life, some of them in God. We do really things that, and we don't get things right like we need to. And the Holy Ghost comes and says to us, you didn't do that right. And you were wrong about that, and you just wipe that out because it's not talking about church.
Mm.
You made some grande blunders.
Oh, yeah.
And the Lord says, you should have listened to this, or you should have listened to that. He did just like when Paul is going to Rome, and Paul tells him before the ship leaves the dock, he says, we shouldn't sail this time of year. It's not going to be good. And they said, Paul, we know what we're talking about. Get on the ship. Shut up and call. And then when the ship gets grounded, when it's about to go down, and everybody's about to die, Paul comes up, and the Holy Ghost permits him to do something that the Holy Ghost doesn't always do. The Holy Ghost allows Paul to come up and say, I told you so.
Mm-hmm.
Says, you should have never left land.
Mm-hmm.
You should have listened. And the Holy Ghost will come when you make big blunders, and he'll say to you, you should have
listened.
And you should be so glad he showed up.
Thank you.
Now's not the time to argue with God.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now's not the time to explain to God how you got where you are.
Yeah.
God has watched you in slow motion all the way to where you are.
Yes.
He already knows.
Yes.
Every thought and every conversation to get you where you are.
Yes.
And he's already, you know, he's very much aware, especially if you're someone who already belongs to God. He knows exactly what you, he knows your history. If you're a sinner, God knows your history and he's waiting to wipe it out.
Thank you.
Yes.
He's waiting to blot it out. Knows all about Damascus. Knows when he came in here in the middle of my prayer line one time wearing a little, what hat was that?
Nemo.
It was so fun finding Nemo hat. It was so funny, brother. I was in the middle of prayer line. Damascus was about this tall. He came in with a little finding Nemo hat, and I almost couldn't finish my prayer. We were in the back door because we were working up here doing something.
Yes.
I think Sister Campbell, weren't we? And we were having service in the back, and so there was no ante room. So when you walked through the back door, you were immediately in service. And in the middle of prayer line, you know, the door opens and he busts in just as big right down now, that big Finding Nemo hat. Ah, you know, like it was difficult. But I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. Coming to the house of God. Oh, yeah. So when Jesus is preaching to them, he says to them, you should have done some things differently. We need to be the kind of people that when the Lord is able to say to us, especially when we get big.
Yes.
So we say. Because by now, all the scribes and Pharisees consider themselves to be big.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to hear anything Jesus has to say. He didn't come to preach to them anyway. Actually, he did come to preach to them. They just don't realize that they're in the number.
Yes.
He comes to preach to me as much as he comes to preach to you.
Yes.
I have to remind myself, title notwithstanding, I'm still in the number that needs the blood.
Yes.
I have to remind myself.
Oh, yes.
And you're a big liar. You know, when you say, you know, when people say, I always got my faith, I don't ever lose faith.
Okay.
You're not telling the truth, and I'll tell you why. Because faith in God can be seen.
Yes.
And when you, you're not, and it's not only that. The other reason why I know that you're not telling the truth is because the people in the Word of God who had absolute faith, it can be seen in the move of the Spirit.
Yes.
And for the rest of us, the fact that the blood has to continually wash us and keep us, I'm not saying you should be up and down all the time, but I'm saying in spite of ourselves, we do go up and down.
Yes.
In spite of ourselves. So why don't you want me to know that? So that you don't give up when you're down.
Yes.
You'll get back up. Stay with God.
Don't give up.
Most of the things, you know, the Bible says in Corinthians, they have no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. The things that you've gone through, everybody might not have gone through them, but someone has.
Yes.
And God has brought someone through them.
Yes.
And he has all power. You're not a new experiment.
Yeah.
That God is not prepared for or has never seen before. Remember, he's already done the greatest work he had to do in me. That was to deliver me from sin at all.
Yes.
Just saving me.
Yes.
Believe it or not, Christ didn't die on the cross of Calvary to stop me from doing, I don't know, name a sin. I was never a thief. Well, I stole something one time. My mom beat that out of me. I didn't even need the Holy Ghost.
Yes, you do.
We, you know, whatever it is, running the clubs, you name them, you know, fornicating, whatever, you name it. Christ didn't die to stop me from doing any of those. Hey, Bishop, he didn't die to stop you from fornicating, from running the streets, from drinking liquor. He didn't stop. No, he didn't. My own death would have stopped me from doing those.
Yes.
He could have stopped me from doing those simply by not keeping my heart beating.
Yes.
That would have ended it.
Yes.
Christ died on the cross of Calvary not to stop me from being a thief or a shoplifter or whatever. He died on the cross of Calvary to set me free from sin, the power, and the spirit of sin at all. He died to change me from a sinner to a person who was not a sinner.
Yes.
That's the hard part. His resurrection made me a new person who was not a sinner. Let me finish this and then I'll go to Romans and I'll be done for this morning. So he says to them, Romans the fifth chapter, last for today. So he said to these publicans and all these temple people who today would equate to church folk, they want to know, why are you over here preaching among all these sinners? You need to come up to the meeting and be among all us. He said to them, he didn't say they were wrong. He said, well, that's not the reason why I was called to come. That's not why I was sent down here. I was sent down here to preach to everybody. Want to know why don't you show up at all the meetings? That's not why I was called to preach.
Yeah.
I was called to preach so that I could open these doors every time somebody came in who needed to be saved.
Amen.
I was called to preach because so that I could do what the Word of God says in James, and so that when people are feeling down, I can say to them, but the Lord's on your side.
Yes.
The Lord will lift you up. You'll be all right.
Yes.
He says to them in Romans chapter 5. Almost done. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Is that what it says?
Yes, what it says.
Through our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, about verse number 25, 4 and 25, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Jesus went to the cross to save sinners.
Yes.
And it isn't a matter of him going to the cross to stop you from doing anything physically.
Yes.
Because, here again, if I don't want the core to be a thief, let her die young. Yes. The idea is how to come out of sin and yet live. God has a stopper for every. Don't ever dare God and say, Lord, if you want me to do something, you need to stop it. Don't ever do that. I'll tell you what to do.
Yes.
When you feel like you're going to do something wrong, there is a prayer you can pray. You know what it is? Ask God to give you a clean heart.
Yes.
Ask God to give you a new mind.
Yes.
The Lord has been on my mind to do such and such for a long time.
Just tell him.
And I know it's wrong.
Oh, yes.
And I need help.
Yes.
Because it's wearing on me.
Yep. Yes.
And I need, you know, Lord,
yep,
I trust
Lord.
In you. You know, you sent Jesus to die for me, and the blood cleanses me from all sins. And I've been hearing him preach forever now, but it ain't working on me. And I'm being drawn more and more into doing something I have no business doing. I need some help.
Yes.
And I want you to come in by the, you know, and tell God. And I know you have all power. And if you can deliver everybody else, say, if you can deliver Bishop Smith, I know you can deliver me. My God, if you can deliver him, surely you can bring me out.
Yes.
And ask God. And then the Lord will say, well, Tekoa, what do you know? And the Spirit will bring to your mind what word of God you have. Might not have much, but the Spirit will bring to your mind. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. The Spirit will bring to your mind God has all power.
Yes.
The Spirit. You don't have to have. You don't have to have a lot of the word.
Yes.
You don't have to know the Bible from cover to cover. But He will bring to your mind what you need.
Yes.
And He'll say, well, maybe on Sunday you need to go to church.
Yes.
That's the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because the devil's never going to send you to church when the power of God is there.
Mm-hmm. No.
He'll say, maybe you just need to wait sometime. And then God will make a way. You're going to do such and such. When you tell the Lord, Lord, I need help, God will make a way out. If you are going someplace you shouldn't go and you just can't seem to wiggle out of it, and you say, Lord, I really need help. Deliver me. God will do one of two things. Either He'll make a way so that you'll end up not having to go, or God will strengthen you so that you'll tell whoever's going, hey, look, I can't go.
Yeah.
It's not going. It's not the Lord. You might not say it's not the Lord, but you just say to them, hey, I just changed my mind. Because God will strengthen you.
Yes.
And the Lord will keep you.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be all right. He says, because He died on the cross of Calvary and was resurrected to set me free from not the deeds of sin, but the power. The power. It's the power that when I know something is wrong and I do it anyway, that's what I need to be set free from. It's the power. It's the old person that had a way about them. And this is the thing that a lot of the older saints, you know, sometimes need to be careful of. You need to be aware that you were made a new creature just like me.
Yes.
And you weren't born a new creature.
That's right.
Yes.
And you weren't born again.
That's right.
I've been in church all my life. Yes, you have, but you had to be born again just like me.
That's right.
You had to be, God had to forgive you of your sins, and you had to be, you know, the blood of Jesus had to cleanse you, and you had to be a partaker of His death, His burial, and His resurrection just like me.
That's right.
You have to be a resurrected creature just like me.
Yes.
And y'all not be ashamed to tell people, you know, I would probably be out there doing a lot of things that the Lord hadn't
saved me. Yes.
He says in this, and I'm almost done in 5. Oh, therefore being justified or made right with God, by the time he gets to Levi's house, Levi's believing on him, and he's made right with God, and he's justified. In other words, I'm no longer a sinner. Let me explain something about being a sinner too while I'm at it. There's a difference between committing sins, and being a sinner. First of all, sins refers to the things that I do. The blood is shed for the remission of my sins. When I do something wrong, the sacrifice that is needed is the innocent, guiltless blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And that blood atones for my sins. God says He allows the blood to atone for my sins. God will forgive me because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Sins. All the things I do, lying, stealing, envy, murder, hate, you know, sins, deeds, done this or done this or done that. It's this that makes some people say sometimes when you ask them, are you on your way to heaven? And they'll tell you, I don't do anything wrong. I'm a good person. I live right. And they go through the Boy Scout, you know, honor code of, you know, do a good deed daily and all these things. You can be the most moral person in the world. You can be what I call Obama clean. And Obama's about as clean as anybody I know on earth. I'm not as clean as he is. Because they couldn't dig up any dirt, so the man, and I'm sure they looked. You can be Obama clean. But if you have not received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not going to have eternal life.
Life, amen.
It isn't an issue of what I do that Christ had to die for. It was the nature and the spirit that I had.
Yes.
Because once Adam sinned, once he sinned, he became a sinner.
Yes.
It's not what he did, it's what he had become. You can be perfect, Aram, all your life. But if your mother ever tells you to do something and you disobey, you become a disobedient person.
Yes.
You have disobeyed.
Yes.
And you need her to
forgive
you.
Yes.
And do away with that. Then your relationship is restored. Now, God's forgiveness is greater than ours because when God forgives us of something, he wipes it out. He blots it out. He does away with it. It's gone.
Yes.
Something we're not capable of doing. When God forgives you of something, it's gone. Say, well, but I still remember it and I'm still taunted about it. That's because the devil comes and keeps trying to remind you to let you. Tries to make you think that God doesn't have that much power.
Yes.
But God does.
Yes, he does.
So when Jesus comes, he came to save sinners. This is where the Holy Ghost comes in. Minister Smith was talking about last week. This is where the Holy Ghost comes in. Jesus Christ sets me free from sin and makes me new. He takes me out of my old life. Makes me a new creature, not just in word, but in reality.
Yes.
Now I have a clean slate.
Yes.
But I'm an experienced sinner. I'm not an experienced saint.
Yeah. No.
So the Holy Ghost comes.
Yes.
That's why somebody I heard one time say, when the Lord saves you, when you come down to be saved, you need to repent of all your sins. Well, there's a problem with that. So what's the problem with that? When the Lord saved me, there were a lot of things that I was doing with sin I didn't know was sin.
Yes.
And if he had to wait until I figured out everything that I was doing that was wrong, I'd have never got saved. Many things that we do wrong, we don't find, you know, we do them for a long time. We've been saved 20 years before the Lord can ever bring it to us. Do you realize you're like that?
Yes.
Say, but are you saying yes?
Mm-hmm.
It's like saying Aram is 11.
Yes.
You don't expect the same thing out of Aram you expect out of Tekoa. Because Tekoa is older.
Yes.
More mature. She's wiser. Yes. She knows better. Aram might be able to get away with it, but Damascus can't.
Yes.
It's the same thing in God. You got saved yesterday and set free from sin. God has an expectation of you, but you won't sit around and boast that you've been saved now 35 years. God has an expectation of that too.
That's right. Yes.
Why do you think all of us who are Elder Latham, everybody who knows, let me see who knows up here. Let me talk to all these elders. Elder Rogers, Elder Jenkins. Elder Jenkins, who else is up here? Elder Elgin. Why do you think God was so irritated with Aaron, with Moses, when he went off on the people? Moses, God's going to bless the people. He's going to give them water because they're thirsty. People are starving. Don't you know, preacher, pastor, whoever, don't you know, all of us, we're supposed to give the people the word of God because otherwise they'll be starving.
Yeah. Yes.
And the Lord tells Moses, the people are saying, we don't have any water. We're about to die. And water always represents the Word of God.
Word of God, yes.
Water always represents the
Word of God.
Washing and renewing of the
Word of God.
Yes. And God tells Moses, I'm going to stand on the rock who represents
the Word of God.
Jesus.
Jesus, yes.
who also is the Word of God. And I'm going to be there, and I want you to speak to the rock, ask it to bless the
people. Yes.
And Moses says, I have put up with these people enough. Do you know how many times since I acknowledged the call to preach, I've said to myself in all these years, I've had enough of these people?
Yes.
And God would say to me, who do you think you are to have enough of anybody?
All right.
I have never had enough of you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Don't you know, whenever people come up, I have a very healthy respect for everybody. You're not going to cause me to come out of where God has me because of your lack of respect for me.
Yes.
Not going to happen. Because you didn't put me in this position.
Right. Yes.
And it is not one that I asked people to vote for me on.
Yes.
I didn't campaign for it. God gave it to me.
Yes.
And had to really kind of talk me into taking it.
Mm-hmm.
So then, whenever the people in the course of years, every one of us who decides who we will continue to put up with and will not. Now we like God. God doesn't put up with everything. God does have a point where He says enough.
Yes.
But we very seldom get there.
Mm.
And Moses comes up on this rock which represents Christ, and to give them, God says, give them water to refresh them and nourish them. And Moses says, I'm going to give you the word of God today. But before I do it, I'm going to tell you what's on my mind. And it wasn't for him to tell them what was on his mind. He said, drink, you rebels. You're always wrong. You're acting up. You just won't act right. Well, God didn't. This wasn't the time.
Yes.
They needed to be encouraged.
Yes, yes.
And they need to be built up. Do we ever think we know more about what the people need than God does?
Well, help us.
How dare us?
Yes, amen.
Yeah, but they, I tell you what, they won't have come. They won't this, they won't. Mm. God's people.
Yes.
So Jesus said to them, told the Pharisees, they want to know, why are you out here at Matthew's house with all these sinners? You need to be in the temple where all the saints are. And Jesus told them, he said, I didn't come. He said, all these people who say they're saved already, he said, that's not the reason why I came.
Mm-hmm.
Now the truth is, and Jesus knew it too, he came to save sinners, and he knew that each one of those, even the ones who were accusing him, he knew that he had to save them too.
Yes.
They had forgotten,
yes,
that they were washed.
Washed, yes.
They had forgotten that they had been cleansed. They had forgotten that one day the Lord saved them too. You know, you've been saved so long, you've forgotten that you were ever not saved.
Yes.
At least you act like you do.
That's right. Yes, yes.
And it's scary because it makes me wonder then how big is your out basket, your in basket of things that you've done in God. You know, we used to have an end basket. Now we have computers, so we don't have them anymore. We used to have an end basket. People used to walk by your desk, drop stuff in the end basket. Yeah, so that's ancient. Yeah, I'm ancient. How many things do you have in your end basket that you need to repent for so that they can pass on?
Yes.
Because some of us, we get old enough, we stop repenting for anything. We think we can say whatever we want to say to anybody.
Yep. Yeah.
Just break in. Just say whatever's on your mind. You feel like it, everything that comes to your mind. After a while, I watch people in the house of God. Some of them, they get to a point, so they think every little thought that comes to their mind is God.
Yeah.
When the only thing that comes to your mind is God, you will be a great miracle worker.
You're right.
Yes, you will. Because the power always follows the anointing. Mm. So then, he says in this, I'm down my last couple of verses, verse 6. Verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The love of God is given us completely by the Holy Ghost in a broad spectrum. We not only see the love of God and God loving us, but we see how God loves and what God's love does. And part of that love is the part that tells us if a brother be overtaken with a fault, ye that are spiritual, restore such an one with a spirit of meekness. Because we understand the love of God, like it says in 1 Corinthians 13 chapter. We got that.
Yeah.
Now, next verse. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, verse 6, Romans 5 and 6, Christ died for the, what kind of people?
Ungodly.
You don't have a Bible to ask us? Why not? Oh, Damascus, you know, we always got them. Go look over there behind the drums and grab that one. I really want us to get the part about Christ died for the ungodly.
Yes.
He died for me because I was ungodly.
Yes.
He didn't die for, you know, because he makes the point. He says, for scarcely for a righteous person, or in other words, he says, for some good people, somebody might die because they think somebody's worthy.
Yes.
He says, but Christ died for me when I was ungodly. I needed him when I was ungodly. I needed Christ because I was
ungodly. Yes.
He says, 8, but God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet, what?
Sinners.
Sinners. Christ died for us. Much more than, and these are my last verses, being now justified or made right by his blood. Remember, I told you that when you shoplift, steal something, tell somebody off, I hope you know, at some point in time, you need to stop cussing people out. And when you are doing things that you have no business doing, when you ask God to forgive you, God says, where is the blood? And Jesus points and says, the blood is here because the blood is in heaven. And his blood covers your sins always. Whether it's as simple as saying, I'm sorry because I said the wrong thing, or whether it's as big as you find yourself in prison for murder. Well, you need to be in prison because you murdered somebody and it goes on. But it doesn't stop God from forgiving you.
Yes, sir.
There is such a thing as God's governmental judgment. You do some things in the earth that until you see Jesus, you're going to be stuck with.
Yes.
And God will forgive you, but you've done some things and you're going to be stuck with those. You mess around and ride a motorcycle with no helmet on and eat pavement and come up paralyzed, barring a miracle. But it won't stop you from being saved, though.
No.
It won't stop that.
No.
And I pray you get healed, but it won't stop you from being saved.
Yes.
So then he says in this verse number, but God commended his love to us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than now being saved, justified by his blood, shall we be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were sinners, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life? If when we were sinners, we were reconciled to God by the death of Jesus Christ, because the wages of sin is death.
Yes.
One thing we all need to know, there's only one cure for sin, and the sin is death.
No.
You can't go to the mountain someplace and hide out and do away with sin. Power of sin. I'm not talking about sinful deeds, because when they lock you up in prison, well, in prison they do still do sinful stuff, but not supposed to. Put you on the moon. Can't sin on the moon if you're there by yourself, but you can still be a sinner, though.
Yes, sir.
Because it isn't the deeds that make you a sinner. I was born in sin.
Yes.
It's the spirit and power of sin. It's the nature that I was born in. It was born after Adam. That's why I need to be born again. After the spirit, as one being born after God, and God is my Father. So then he says, if when we were sinners, he says this, he says, how much more so now? And now we get to the point where everybody is in here. Hopefully you're saved and the Holy Ghost dwells in you. Don't ever let the devil talk you into giving up your salvation.
That's right. Yes.
This is his point to them.
Yes.
If God's love was poured out to us, Sister Gamble, when we were sinners, much more now, being made right by God, Will God keep us from the wrath that is to come? And will God forgive us of our sins? If he saved me when I walked into Faith Temple the first time and had been a sinner for the last 15 years and doing so many things that I won't even mention them, then if he saved me at all, now when I'm wrong, I should have no problem asking the Lord to forgive me.
Yes.
I need to mean it.
Yes.
Because if you don't mean it when you ask God to forgive you, then you don't repent.
That's true.
The cord smacks Aaron. And then she turned around and Sister Gamble said, Takoa, you had no business hitting him. I'm sorry then. She has not repented.
You did.
Because she said, the little rascal, he needed to be smacked. That's not repentance.
Yes, that's true.
But when you look at him and you have pity on him and you say to yourself, I got angry, but I should not have treated my brother like that. That was not right. And you go to Aaron and you say to him and to your mom, because your mom is God in the house, I should not have done that. Now, how do I know I repented? Because the core says in her mind, I'm never going to get that angry with my little brother ever again. And I'm never going to do that.
Yes.
He might have upset me, but I should not have done that. That's repentance. You have a change of mind.
Yes.
The master's plays tricks on Dakota, and somehow or another it breaks something of hers or does something that really hurt her feelings. And the master is laughing until he realizes how hurt Dakota is. And then in what he says to himself, I shouldn't have done that.
Yes.
That was the wrong thing to do. That's repentance. That's the difference. When you come to God and you say to the Lord, Lord, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been having fun at it. But now I realize this is not the right thing to do.
Yes.
There's something else I should be doing differently. That's repentance.
Yes.
That's when the blood washes.
Yes.
That's when you're clean. And you know you've repented because you can feel it. You know, you. That's when you walk around and sing a song. I feel better, so much better. You know when you've forgiven somebody when you haven't.
Yes, sir.
When you haven't forgiven somebody, they stay on your mind all the time.
That's right.
Forever.
Yeah.
You know, when you're wrong, it keeps coming back partially because you haven't been purged, but then the devil reminds you continually. He says in this, much more than by being justified by his blood shall we be safe in the wrath that is to come. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled shall we be saved by his life. If when we were enemies of God. So I want to encourage everybody today. James writes, he says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In other words, he says, let him ask God in faith, nothing wavering. A person who can't make up his mind is unstable in all his ways. And he says, don't let a person who can't make up his mind think that they'll get anything from the Lord. Let me tell you this. I don't know many people who haven't been somewhat double-minded in the course of their life in Christ.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. Up and down. You have to repent for that. And when God comes through, you have to say to him, Lord, forgive me for doubting.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And go on in God. And don't let people fool you. You can't make up your mind whether or not you want a Cadillac or a Mercedes Benz. You're double-minded.
Yes,
give me a break.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my bank account. That's what's making up my mind. You know, whether it's going to be a little Chevy Metro, whatever it's going to be. Might not have been that. Every one of us, that's why we have the examples. Elijah calls down fire. Then he's concerned that God's not going to take care of him. And he runs. David runs. The Bible is full of them. Sarah's not sure she's going to ever have a child, so she has Abraham have one by somebody else. Mm-hmm. Tamar thinks she's never going to have a husband, so she fools Judah.
Yes.
And the list is long.
Long, yes.
And they're all in the book, and they're all in the Word of God, and they're all got a good report. And while the Holy Ghost tells us of their shortcomings, if he didn't know that sometimes we were going to have ours.
Yes, sir.
And the same way God forgave them, God forgave us.
Yes.
Now, no one in here, as you're standing, should have a problem with God forgiving you. Everybody standing. One of two things needs to happen. If you've never asked the Lord to save you, you need to do that. Because Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And until the Lord saves you, a sinner is what you are. I don't care. You might be a good one or not so good one. But it's what you are. It isn't what I do that makes me a sinner. It's what I am.
I can be
a perfectly moral person. But if God hasn't given me a new life, if I have not been crucified with Christ, then sin remains. It isn't about what I've done. I stopped doing a lot of things. This man that they let down through the roof, quadriplegic. You ever notice? Everybody know the story? Damascus, you read the story? Letting down through the roof to Cole? Aram, you read the story? Letting down through the roof? Well, your mother showed you. You read the story? Letting down through the roof? You know what I'm talking about? Jesus is healing in the house. Yeah. At Matthew's house, they have so many people that can't get the quadriplegic to Jesus. So they tear the roof off and lower him through the roof?
Yes.
Well, we'll talk about that. You know the story, don't you, Sister Judy? You know? You've heard it? The man can't move. Yeah. He's a quadriplegic. Yes. What does that mean?
Somebody had to.
He can't steal.
No.
He can't kill anybody.
No.
He can't fornicate. The man's a quadriplegic. And yet the first thing Jesus says to him is, thy sins are
forgiven.
What sins? If we're only talking about what he can do,
all right.
He can turn and say, look, man, I'm a quadriplegic. How much sin do you think I'm in? But Jesus knows, I can heal him. That's not a problem. I got the power. But what he really needs is to be free from
sin.
Whether he's healed today or not, he needs eternal
life. Yes.
He needs to go from darkness to light, from not knowing about God to knowing about God. And from being in sin to having his sins forgiven and having eternal life. If nothing, Jesus is saying to him, if nothing else happens to you today, you need to be saved. If you get nothing else. Now, you know, I'm a healer.
Yes.
But the most important thing for me to do, I came to save sinners. Yes. I came to save sinners. We have churches to save sinners. It's good to come and have a revival. It's good to be among the saints from time to time, and we just play all the music and just have a really good time. But the reason why we preach and have the Word of God is because there are people who are not saved, and we're here to save sinners. So I'll say it again, and then I'm going to pray. If you offer me the difference between being in a room full of sinners and a room full of saved people to preach, I want to preach to the room full of sinners.
Yes.
I don't need a whole lot of people sitting up here judging what I'm preaching anyway, which is what they're doing. Half of them sitting out there judging what I'm preaching. You know, and trying to see if they, you know, if I'm going to miss a word, mispronounce a name, if I'm going to be off in the scripture, I'm going to be that. And they all do that.
Yes, they
do. Decide whether they like what I preached or didn't like it. Some of them going to say, well, you stepped on my toes. And I'm saying, you know, not if I stepped on your toes, I really would have liked to have stepped on your neck. You should not have been that wrong. If that's what it comes down to, if you're not right and you big time saved person got a title and when I preach I'm stepping on your toes, please. You should have stepped on your own toes. Yes, you should have. And for all the people out here who don't have Christ, that's why I came.
Yeah.
I didn't come just to make you feel good.
That's
and enjoy my message. I came to tell all the people who didn't have Christ, Jesus is here for you.
Yes.
And the Lord loves you.
Yes.
Just like you are.
Yes.
Oh, he's going to change you.
Yes.
But when he receives you just like you are.
Yes.
Came to save sinners.
Yes.
So that those of us who have the Lord, everybody the chance. Father, we come before you in Jesus' name. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for forgiving us and washing us.
Thank you, Father.
Yes. Lord, your blood has kept some of us for 5 years, some for 10, some for 15, some for 20. Lord, we are kept by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Lord, the Word of God has encouraged some of us for 20 years, encouraged some of us for 30 years. And Lord, we need the Word of God to keep us until we see Jesus.
Yes.
Lord, we need the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord, to keep reminding us of the way that we should go and how we should go, Lord, until we see Jesus. And Lord, this day, Lord, I pray, Lord, you touch everybody who's sick.
Yes.
Lord, about the power of the Holy Ghost. Lord, move in them and heal them in Jesus' name. Lord, that they would know the power of the Word of God. And Lord, bring us before those people, Lord, who need to hear the Word of God.
Yes.
Bring us in a place, oh God, where, Lord, the light that we have, Lord, that our light can shine. Give light to those who sit in darkness, oh God. Lord, give us a word to tell men and women that Jesus Christ saves sinners and Jesus Christ forgives sins and the blood cleanses from all unrighteousness and all ungodliness. Lord, turn us to someone who needs to hear us say, the Lord will forgive you. Lord, bring us before people that we can say to you, but you'll be all right if you'll trust in God. Lord, bring us among the people, Lord, who need the Word of God. Bring us among the people, Lord, that Jesus came to shed his blood and die for and who was resurrected for. Lord, bring us before us and give us a word for them that are weary and seasoned, oh God.
Yes.
Move by the power of God. Lord, pour out your Spirit. And Lord, as we pour out the Word of God, as we speak the Word of God, let it be as water from the rock to refresh them and nourish them, oh God. And let the Holy Ghost go forth with the Word of God and touch their spirit. And give life, oh God.
Give life.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Lord.
Lord, turn them towards Christ, just like you turned us towards Christ.
Yes.
Lord, I pray, Lord, give them everlasting life, like you've given us everlasting life.
Yes.
For all of us who've gone through anything, oh Lord. Lord, if we're going through today, Lord, remind us.
Yes, of your goodness.
Lord, of your goodness and of your mercy and of your long suffering, oh God. Your forbearance of us, oh God. That's how we came to be saved at all. Lord, we glorify your name. Lord, send sinners into this sanctuary.
Yes, Lord,
Lord, send them by the drove. Send in some Matthews and some Levi's.
Yes.
And Lord, when they come, Lord, meet them here with the Word of God and the power of God. Lord, without the Word of God and the power of God, no one will be saved.
Yes.
Lord, without a move of the Spirit, Lord, no one will be saved. No one will be set free. No one will be born again.
Yes.
Lord, move by your Spirit. And Lord, I pray, Lord, anoint us, Lord, and give us the Word of God in truth. Keep us from any error. Lord, that when we speak the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will confirm it by miracles, signs, and wonders.
Yes.
And we'll glorify your name.
Yes, Lord.
And all the people of God say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for all of you today. And I pray, Lord, just bless you real good. You can be seated. Elder Smith and I are going to take a...